lot of blowouts yesterday. That means a lot of offense. A lot to talk about on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast on Wednesday, June 17th. Adam Azer, Scott White, Chris Towers. Hey, guess what?
What?
Chris Towers is going to be hosting on Friday.
Woo!
Are you nervous?
So, I'm an old pro at this game.
Yeah, that was fantasy basketball.
Oh.
Now we're talking baseball.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Who's downloading the fantasy basketball podcast? Now, I want to see the guy who's like, I'm going to listen to a fantasy basketball podcast.
Well,
while
there should
I
be
play
plenty.
Basketball.
Fans of Chris Towers.
And Chris actually recorded one yesterday with one of our college basketball writers, Sam Vecini, and they did a little NBA draft preview, so you're going to want to check that out. You're also going to want to watch Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. Eastern time to get your FanDuel fix, your Daily Fantasy fix, 6 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com. As you might have just heard, the mustache, the beard is growing back a little bit for Chris. Kind of ran his fingers through it.
Oh, sorry. Does that get picked up?
I think it did a little bit. But it doesn't take long for you to grow that thing back, yeah. Huh? Good for you. all right, I want to get through the news first. And one of the themes of today's show, people want to drop Tehran. They want to drop Tyson Ross. They want to drop Andrew Cashner. So we'll talk about that. Not saying that they should or shouldn't. We'll let Scott and Chris decide that. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Grade the trade in a little bit. But first, the news. You like prospects? How about Miguel Sano? Might be coming up soon-ish for the Twins. Could play some left field. Minor league prospect guy, Scott White. What say you?
That's what I am, huh?
That's what you want.
I think I'm actually writing about this today in the prospects report about the prospects who could be next, apart from Steve Matz, of course, who's now nearly 70% owned.
Is he Steve now? Did they change that?
As opposed to Steven?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Scott's just...
And what is Velasquez?
I just dropped the syllable,
Scott's just a real... he's a real casual kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, we have a... Steve and I, we go way back. He's fine with me calling him
like
that.
Matzy. So, okay, sorry, go ahead.
Well, and Sano is the one I'm going to highlight as, I think, the best prospect, apart from Matz, to stash in fantasy because he does seem, of the guys with superstar potential, he does seem the closest. And I do think he has that kind of potential. He's got off to a slow start this year. He missed all of last year with Tommy John surgery. Those are probably connected. But he's picked it up here recently. The guy who hit, I think, 35 home runs in the minors 2 years ago. I think he has a Giancarlo Stanton-like potential. Could give you some big power totals down the stretch.
And he's third base eligible.
Yep.
Him and Buxton are a good example of why you should never listen to teams when they say they're not planning on calling up their prospects, because the Twins have pretty consistently, before the last couple of weeks, been like, we're going to be patient with them, we're not going to force anything, and then all of a sudden... they're way better than anybody expected, and this team starts calling up their main guys because they're producing, and they need these lineup spots taken over by someone who's got some potential. So, you know, when teams say, you know, there's a lot of smoke screens that go on with prospects, I think.
And when teams say they haven't hacked into the Astros' computers,
what they really mean is,
so St. Louis under the spotlight lately, they don't think that Trevor Rosenthal is going to need a DL stint. But you never know. No structural damage for Rosenthal. Kevin Segrist got another save last night, so maybe you could just speculate there. But they're downplaying the Rosenthal injury. Wei-Yin Chen, best season ever, and now he's in single A. But just for a little bit, Chris Parmalee was recalled. We're going to talk about Parmalee in just a second. Chen can't come back until June 26th. Matt Cain expected to need at least two more rehab starts. Does anybody want Matt Cain this year?
I could see picking up Matt Cain because this is something we're going to talk about a little later. When we talk about those high-profile pitchers and whether or not to drop them. But starting pitcher isn't as deep as I think everyone assumed it would be coming into the year. And there's a struggle every week when I take some time going over my rankings, like what to do with spots 61 through 100, because there's just not that anybody who really stands out.
Yeah.
And those are the 60 through 100, that's the range where you're filling out the back end of your pitching staff, the sixth and seventh guy in a 12-team mixed league. Some people carry eight or nine pitchers, so there's probably a lot of replaceable pitchers owned in your league. And Kane, obviously, he has enough of a track record that it's worth a flyer coming back from injury.
Devin Travis could return from a shoulder injury within a week. Victor Martinez could be back this weekend. Adam Jones could be back today. I say the Yankees should move Nate Eovaldi to the bullpen.
Yeah, as a Marlins fan, I was saying that for a couple of years.
So they can give up eight runs in one inning in the seventh inning instead
exactly.
of the first inning.
Look, he usually doesn't give up that many runs in the first inning.
No,
but he's actually usually pretty good through the first turn of the rotation and then or the lineup, and then he just doesn't have the stuff.
Well, my conviction about Adam Warren going to the bullpen has changed a little bit since last night's horrible start from Nate Eovaldi. And Nova needs another rehab start, so he could be back in, I don't know, a week and a half or so, something like that. Dominic Brown back for Philadelphia. Anyone interested in Dominic Brown? Chris Towers!
If I need a little cheap power, that's about it.
Steven Strasburg could be back next week. Doug Fister should be back tomorrow. So does that mean Joe Ross and Tanner Roark are out of here?
Well,
you're out of there!
Both of them? I guess they'd have to be the ones removed. I know Gio Gonzalez has been more missed than hit, but
yeah,
they're
but
not
they're,
taking him
yeah.
out.
Unless you're a hitter. Then he's been more hit than miss.
Yeah. And the thing is, like...
Right? Come on. Right?
I get it.
All right.
Cool. Yeah.
Thanks.
And Roark was great yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, he seemed like the one who would be the first one out with Ross pitching great in his second start. I'd like to own both of those guys. The Nationals just have too much pitching.
Carlos Gomez was out again with his groin/hip injury. Something to certainly keep an eye on. Hey, congratulations, Royals fans. You're now ruining the All-Star game for two leagues as Nori Aoka is set to be a starter in the All-Star game.
Over Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
I'm sure
that's the
way the majority of baseball fans want it. They'd rather see Nori Aoka than Giancarlo Stanton, right? No-brainer.
Oh, man. Jeff Banister said Sean Tolleson is the Texas closer, and he got a win yesterday. And now, on to baseball. We're done with the boring news stuff. Here's just stat of the day. The Pirates, they are pitching so well. They've shut out an opponent three straight games now. And how about Charlie Morton, who Al liked a lot this week as a two-star guy, 53% own. Could he be a guy, Charlie Morton, on seven scoreless innings for the second straight start, I believe? Could he be a guy that gets into that 61 to 100 range or even higher than that?
I think he could be, and obviously there hasn't been a lot of strikeouts here for as much contact he's allowing. You know, you think he should be giving up more hits, but his ground ball rate so far, and he's always been a ground ball pitcher, but so far this year it is ridiculously high. So the league leader, no surprise, with a qualifying number of innings is Dallas Keuchel. The ground ball to fly ball ratio is 4.36. So 4.36 for Keuchel. For Morton, I think it's up over 7.
It's 5.46 after last night's
start. Oh, man. I didn't check after last night.
But he's always been a very extreme ground ball pitcher.
You can't throw
well
nerd
over.
Stats out around Chris Towers.
It's just, I got the FanGraph page already
unless
open.
Unless you're up to date. Yeah, FanGraphs is Chris's homepage, yeah. His desktop, his screensaver.
Yeah.
There you go. So here we go, Charlie Morton. And you know what? Something about strikeouts, because, you know, I dropped Chichi Gonzalez in a league last week, and maybe I might kind of regret it now, even though he strikes out nobody. At some point, you can't really be that picky with strikeouts. I mean,
well,
just aren't enough good pitchers.
What I was going to say is, like, Dallas Keuchel, I kept waiting for him to fall off last year because of the lack of strikeouts. And even coming into this year, I was skeptical. But I think when you're that extreme of ground ball pitcher, it's a testament to the quality of the contact you're allowing, and you just can get away with pitching to contact. I don't think all ground ball pitchers can do that, but the best of the best can.
Chris, this is my water, right?
Probably.
All right, good. I took it from next to you, but I thought it was.
I don't
really
think it's
out.
Not mine.
I don't share drinks, so that would have been really weird for me. All right, would you rather have Morton or Vincent Velasquez?
Velasquez.
Yeah, I'd still go for the upside there.
Morton or Chichi Gonzalez?
Morton.
Yeah.
Morton.
Man, it's so hard to buy into Gonzalez, right?
I mean, my
I
thing
heard an
with like
quote or saw an interesting
if you're
quote.
Not striking guys out, you at least have to like have really good control to go along with, you know, your high ground ball rate. Gonzalez, I don't know about what it would be with his last start, but through his first three starts, he had more walks than strikeouts. Like that.
But that's because he had so few strikeouts.
Yeah, like sure, but
he's pitching eight innings, getting strikeouts.
But I think even his walk rate wasn't great.
Right now,
his first.
It's 12 walks in 30 innings.
Yeah, that's not great. It's not terrible. It's not going to kill you. But when you have more walks than strikeouts, like that, it's an unsustainable rate. Whereas at least more than four strikeouts per nine, sure, that's not good at all. But only two walks per nine.
In my notes, I have Gonzalez has 12 walks and 20 strikeouts in 30 innings, but I think it's 12 walks and 10 strikeouts.
That sounds right.
Yeah, in 30 innings, which is incredible. But I saw on ESPN LA that Yasmani Grandal, I think, said he's got so much movement on his pitches. He was surprised, I guess, at how much movement Chichi Gonzalez has on his pitches. And Gonzalez is 67% owned. He's got to be considered one of the standouts from yesterday. He's got a .90 ERA. I don't know that I'm rushing to pick him back up again in the league I dropped him.
And
but,
I think there's
but it's interesting.
There's also room for him to improve. You know, he was a decent he was a 7.1 strikeout guy per nine in the minors. So,
well, how about this though? So we look at some organizations like Scott. You highlight the Indians and what they've done with pitchers, right? And what about the Rangers? Look at all the guys on the Rangers staff this year that have done better than we thought. Colby Lewis, Nick Martinez, now Chichi, Wandy Rodriguez has actually been good. Not that these guys are great for fantasy like the Indians guys, but maybe they can keep up these low ERAs.
Maybe. I'm skeptical of all of them, though. Kind of like the Twins rotation, and I may be using all of them a little too literally. I mean, Yovani Gallardo's a serviceable pitcher, I feel like.
I forgot about him.
Yeah.
They don't have a good ballpark like the Twins, so I understand the skepticism.
Yeah. But... yeah, I don't know what to say. I haven't been picking up Wandy Rodriguez. I haven't been picking up Colby Lewis. I'm still just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Well, back to the Pirates shutting people out. Their catcher for much of it has been Francisco Cervelli, who actually is a top 12 catcher in fantasy. Since May 1st, Cervelli is batting .356. He is a career .287 hitter. He hit .301 last year and 146 at-bats. He's around 175 at-bats this year. Cervelli only has two home runs. He homered last night. And 35% owned. Is he a must-own, Cervelli, in a two-catcher league?
Two-catcher, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything you want to say about Cervelli? Catchers are so whatever.
Yeah, I think that's just he's gotten off to a hot start. I don't think there's any world in which he's a sustainably top 12 catcher.
Well, I mean, the lack of alternatives.
Right, that's the thing. Like,
sure, but he's a top 12 catcher because he's hitting .356 or .324. He's not a .324 hitter.
Well,
he might be a .300 hitter, though.
Yeah, he might be. I think there's good enough plate discipline there that he could be kind of what Carlos Ruiz used to be. Not the Carlos Ruiz that one crazy year he had, but all the other years.
Okay, stat of the day number two. Stat of the day number one was about the shutout. Stat of the day number two is about the home runs. Baltimore hit eight of them yesterday against the Phillies, the most for the Orioles franchise since moving to Baltimore from St. Louis in 1954. And I found this so interesting because I had no idea that they used to be in St. Louis.
I had no idea either.
Yeah, so how about that? Now, let's go down the list here. Some of the blowouts from yesterday. First, the Orioles walloping the Phillies. Manny Machado is now the number three third baseman in fantasy after his two-homer game. He has surpassed Nolan Arenado. This was my boy! I got James Paxton so wrong, but I was happy to be right about Manny Machado.
Yeah.
And I just don't see a reason to doubt him. I don't know if he's top three rest of season.
Health is the
base,
only reason.
Yeah.
That's the only possible reason I think you could doubt him. He's... he is starting to put it together.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 22 now, so it's
amazing.
Not...
He's one home run shy of his career high, and he's already got a career high in stolen bases. He's having a great season.
Now, you said he moved past Arenado. He's also moved past Matt Carpenter in points leagues. I do still rank those two ahead of him. I'm actually still ranking Chris Bryant ahead of him, too.
That's what I was going to ask, Bryant or Machado, who you like, who
yeah.
you got.
But It's a thing where, like, another week or two more of this, and my mind could be changed. What's really helping Machado stand out from somebody like Brian is 9 stolen bases and caught only once, so you'd think that's going to continue.
And Machado has scored 42 runs so far. So
you know what?
Good number for him.
As I say that, I think I'm remembering that Bryant actually has 5 stolen bases himself. So,
look, man, he's a center fielder. He's got athleticism for days.
So maybe not distinguishing himself from Brian in particular, but yeah, some of those other third basemen I mentioned.
All right, we'll move through the rest of the Orioles here. Jimmy Paredes, 55% owned. He homered 10 for his last 58, though. So what do you think about the ownership percentage for Jimmy Paredes?
I think it's fine. I could go either way on him. If I had him, he's a drop candidate, but he's not a for sure thing.
Chris Davis went 1-for-3 with a home run, and I think if you look at what he's done year-to-date, Chris Davis, 232 with 14 home runs. He's the number 12 points league third baseman,
yeah.
Number 8 in Roto. It's kind of being exactly what we thought he'd be.
He's switch-hitting Mark Reynolds.
Yeah, when I saw that, what?
No, he's not a switch-hitter.
Oh, he's not?
No, it's just
why do I think he's a switch-hitter?
I thought he was too.
Chris Davis?
Yeah. Just a lefty?
No, just
left-handed
lefty.
Mark Reynolds? All right.
I was surprised to see him rank that high at third base when I looked at it. He's a left-handed hitter. Because I don't feel like he's having a good year, but apparently he is.
Home runs and RBI. That's pretty much it. But
14 home runs, 38 RBI. I was shocked.
Yep.
And it makes you question, is he going to be top 8 in Roto rest of season?
Well, I do expect Bryant to pass him.
I'm
sure he's behind just because he got off to a late start.
I mean, you can look at, like, Bryant will probably pass him.
Would Josh Harrison pass him?
Adrian Beltre isn't healthy right now, so I could see him falling out of the top 10.
I would not expect Josh Harrison to pass him, no.
And
not
about
Roto.
How about Chris Parmalee? 2 home runs yesterday, 27 years old, good minor league numbers. And last year with Minnesota, Parmalee hit 256 with 7 home runs in 87 games, so not bad power.
Let's not do this with Chris Parmalee again.
He is a guy who I feel like I always felt like he should be better than he is. And Buck Showalter is a manager who seems to like to play the hot hand. But whose roster spot was Parmalee taking?
Wei-Yin Chen.
Wei-Yin Chen, who we know is only down for one turn, and he's going to be right back up. So.
Yeah, but there are options. I mean, Travis Snyder has been bad. Paredes has been struggling.
He wasn't bad yesterday.
No, and that's the thing. That's one thing you have to note about Parmalee. He hit this 2-homer game when they hit 8 homers. It's horrible pitching.
Yeah, what's the? I mean, what's the hope that he can have like a Justin Bour run? I guess.
Yeah.
Or a Colabello.
No, that's true. I mean, there's one thing thinking of it. From just like a baseball fan perspective, I'd like to see Parmalee get another shot because I think he can be better than he has been to this point in his career. But at the same time, I don't see him becoming an everyday player for the Orioles. So how much fantasy potential is there? Not much.
Washington 16, Tampa Bay 4. What was the stat you gave, Chris, about the AL East games yesterday?
I'm pretty sure this held true. There were 3 games decided by 10 runs or more. But the final score of the NL East versus AL East last night was 37-37 combined.
That's crazy. It was just a very, very weird day with Washington and the Marlins scoring huge wins, and the Red Sox and the Orioles scoring huge wins, and then the Blue Jays-Mets game was actually a good game. Bryce Harper, 3-for-3 with a home run. I think his slugging percentage is still over 700. He's batting .346. He's got 22 homers. He has one more walk than strikeout. Bryce Harper would be the blank pick in the draft if we were drafting today.
Second.
I'll take third. I'll take Goldschmidt.
Yeah. Yeah, Goldschmidt's stealing bases. Top three, top four. I don't think he would go any further than that.
I keep overlooking Goldschmidt.
Everybody does. No, crazy. He's having the best season that nobody's talking about in the world.
Yeah. No, you're both right. I would take him over Harper. But that's it.
Like, I think
that's
he's
the top
on,
three.
He's like close to a 20 stolen base pace, I'm pretty sure.
I think you're right, yeah.
Wilson Ramos is the number 9 catcher in fantasy. He had a 2 home run game.
I feel
yesterday.
Like this is the one you can just toss out, right?
What?
Wilson Ramos yesterday?
What do you mean toss out?
He hit 2 home runs off position players.
Oh, yes, he did hit 2 home runs off position players. And he's just not really hitting for a lot of power. Slugging percentage last year was .399. This year it's .418, and I don't know what it was going into yesterday, but it's probably around .400.
If you had your FanDuel preview set up based on who the opposing pitcher was,
Elmore. And
this is how you
someone else.
This is why it's so random.
Yes.
How do you account for the fact that two position players are going? And usually nobody hits off position players because you're not trying at that point.
Two position players in the same game.
And Jeff Francoeur threw two innings for, was he on the Phillies?
Probably.
Man, I was going through these box scores too late last night. I was not looking at any of anybody who pitched out of the bullpen unless there was a
lone
save.
I think in a 16-4 game, you're not too interested in the bullpen anyway.
Yeah.
Is Francoeur on the Phillies? Or am I going crazy?
I think he is.
Okay.
Yeah, he was to start the year. Yeah, he was. He pitched two innings. He walked three.
Who do you like better, Cervelli or Ramos rest of
Ramos.
Season?
Yeah, I do too. You mentioned he hasn't hit for power. He's the ninth best catcher in points league so far, which kind of tells you what the position's looking like. Granted, he was probably 12th or 13th before yesterday's game. But
yeah, ninth in Roto too. And do you have anything to say about Danny Espinosa, or who has 5 for 5, or Escobar, is actually a top 10 shortstop?
I would guess that's the first 5-hit game in Danny Espinosa's career. Might be the first game with more than 3 hits.
But he actually hasn't been bad this year. The strikeout rate is down significantly, and that was always a problem for him. It's just with Rendon back, they can't play both Espinosa. Well, Espinosa has played some first base recently, but I don't see that being an everyday thing, and I think that limits his appeal to...
They have 4 guys for 3 spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deeper leagues.
Escobar being a top 10 shortstop is kind of interesting.
He's been good this season.
55% owned.
It's so batting average dependent, though, and mostly singles. So I just don't see that lasting.
Escobar or Echevarria?
Echevarria, just because I think he's got more of a role.
Escobar or Jimmy Rollins?
Rollins.
FanDuel! How'd you guys do last night?
I won our 5-man show contest.
Yeah, right.
And I won all my cash games.
Very good.
Yeah,
it was
a good day.
What was your secret?
My secret...
A lot of Wilson Ramos.
I played a lot of Royals, actually, and although they weren't one of the teams that scored double digits, they came awfully close.
Yeah, they roughed up
Matt
Garza.
If you stacked the Orioles yesterday...
They're expensive, but I mean, that was, we kind of knew that was coming. They had a cake matchup. FanDuel, though, get on there right now and start playing, because entry fees start at just $1. If you need some help, you can reach out to us on Twitter. You can listen to this podcast. You can watch Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. Eastern every weekday on CBSSports.com. No season-long commitment, no sign-up fees, and FanDuel is home to more winners than any other daily fantasy site. So join the over 1 million people who have already won cash, and use our offer code. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Code is CBSPOD. Sign up now for every dollar you deposit. FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. CBSPOD is the offer code. I promise you're going to have fun. Go play right now. Well, not right now. Listen to the rest of this podcast. Then go make your FanDuel lineup. Multi-homer games. Luis Valbuena is number 13 in points, number 14 in Roto at third base, and that's with a .188 batting average.
It's insane.
Could you imagine what he would do if he ever got anything besides a home run?
It's incredible. And he's not usually this bad of a hitter.
Yeah, but he's not usually this good of a home run hitter.
That's true.
It's like this is 4 16. In his last 5 games. He's on pace for nearly 40 home runs with a .696 OPS. Nearly 40% of his hits are home runs. That's unsustainable on so many levels.
I think he's someone who will get fewer home runs moving forward, but he'll hit for a better average. I don't know how good. I don't know what that adds up to.
Jed Lowry's going to be back at some point, and I haven't cared to pick Paredes up anywhere.
Valbuena.
Up anywhere.
He's got good power. Like, throughout his career, he's got solid power, but never anything like this.
No. Yeah.
Would you rather have Paredes or Valbuena?
Well,
I think Valbuena.
Yeah, at this point, I'm not high on Paredes at all. So, but it, I don't really want either. Probably if I could help it.
Plouffe over them.
Probably, yeah.
Addison Russell over them.
Not Valbuena at this point.
So he's viable in some capacity.
Right. He's just, I'd be looking to upgrade.
Yeah.
If I had him.
Well, maybe stash Miguel Sano.
Maybe.
Todd Frazier, 2-for-4 with 2 home runs at Detroit. Number one third baseman in fantasy, top 4 hitter in fantasy. .293 batting average, 20 home runs, 8 steals and 10 attempts for Frazier. 2014, before the All-Star break, .290 with 19 home runs. Right now he's at .293 with 20 home runs. And 2014, after the All-Star break, .247 with 10 home runs and a .396 slugging percentage. I don't have any argument against Todd Frazier other than he's been inconsistent in his career, and last year he slumped after the All-Star break. I don't think that necessarily means it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he's still running so much.
He's honestly, he's a great, great player right now.
Yeah.
And he'd probably be second in All-Star voting in the AL behind Mike Moustakas at third base. But what do you do? I mean, do you value Frazier as an elite player rest of season?
I do.
Yeah.
The strikeout rate's down, so I think he continues to improve now at 29. And obviously, I think the power speaks for itself at this point. I keep having this dilemma at first base, and I know you don't really think of him as a third baseman, but he's eligible at first base too. Votto, Joey Votto, and Prince Fielder, who I prefer rest of season. They're both behind Todd Frazier for me. I think he's that good.
Email of the day, number one, is from John. Our email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Very different show today. Like structure, it was just such a strange day for baseball.
And you said you woke up late. You were only up at... You didn't wake up until 6 o'clock in the morning.
I tried to get here at 6. Today, I forgot to set an alarm. I woke up, and I said, oh, bleep. And then I hurried. Didn't shave, as you can tell. And
I mean, for not setting an alarm, it's pretty amazing you woke up when you did.
Yeah, I guess so. I got lucky.
You didn't wake up to the birds chirping.
I didn't even get to see the Warriors celebrate. What was the final score? Was it a close game?
No, I mean, it was the same thing as the previous two games. The Cavaliers kept it close, and then the Warriors pulled away.
And Iguodala won MVP?
Yep.
Pretty cool. Email of the day is from John. He says, I have Tyson Ross, Gio Gonzalez, Anibal Sanchez, and Julio Teheran on 2 start weeks. 3 negative starts out of 4. Why me? Teheran was horrible. And now he's got 2 splits going here. He's got this weird home road split that's kind of 2 seasons in a row, but also a lefty-righty split where lefties are batting .326 against Teheran. He gave up 13 hits and 6 runs yesterday. And Cashner, who is not on John's team but is part of this high-end mess of pitchers who aren't pitching well, has now had 4 bad starts in a row. So after 5 runs and 5 innings against Oakland. How patient can you be with Gio, Tyson Ross? I can't see anybody dropping Anibal Sanchez at this point. So
no, he's been good.
Teheran and Cashner. Ross, Gio, Teheran, and Cashner.
I think
based on how few good pitchers are available on the waiver wire in any of my leagues, I think you have to hold on to them. Like it just any reasonable replacement that you have available on waivers probably isn't any better.
It's not a game changer. That's
yeah.
Somebody asked me yesterday, you know, is now the time to drop, I think it was Teheran. Yovani Gallardo looks like the best pitcher on waivers. Well, what would be the point of that? Is Yovani Gallardo going to be the difference between a title and not winning a title? No. Teheran might be if he gets his act together.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was in 2 starts prior to this one, for what it's worth. The ERA was kind of misleading because the Braves kept him in the 8th inning both games, and the bullpen allowed a couple inherited runners to score, but it was, what, 12 base runners and 14 in a third innings in those previous 2 starts, which is obviously good.
Well, there is one guy who's 66% owned who might be a game changer, and his name is Steve or Steven Matz.
Yep.
And would you drop any of those 4? Again, they're Tyson Ross, Andrew Kastner, Gio Gonzalez,
and Julio Teheran. You've got to have someone worse.
You got to, right? You got to have a Yovani Guajardo, maybe not him specifically, but somebody like him, a Drew Hutchison or a...
See, I, at this point, okay, I have a 10-team league where Tehran is probably my worst pitcher right now. I don't know.
Okay, I'm looking at my team right now. I've got, in my rotation, I've got guys like Matt Latos, Tanner Roark, CJ Wilson.
This is a 12-team league?
Yeah, and Chris Heston. So, like, I would drop any of those guys before the four guys you mentioned just because some of them have been better. Actually, I think all those guys have pretty much been better than the four guys we're talking about to a large extent. But it's not about who's been better. It's about who's likely to be better moving forward and who has more upside.
Who is the most droppable of this group of four, and who is the least droppable?
I
think Tyson Ross is probably the most droppable.
I was going to say Gio Gonzalez.
I would agree with that. I think he has the least upside.
Who?
Gio.
He has the least upside? Yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah, that's why I do it. I'm not advocating anybody do it. If you have a team, and even in a 10-team league, which I understand is shallower, but if Tehran's really your worst pitcher,
that just means
the pitching staff is stacked because even in a 10-team league, just going five deep enough to fill out everybody's lineup, that's still the top 50 at starting pitcher. And I'm saying you run into a problem after the top 60. So there's a lot of other people in your league who would, or at least should, pounce on Tehran if you dropped him.
Yeah.
All right, then I'll frame it another way. Ross, Gio, Tehran, Cashner. Buy low on any of them?
I would buy low on... Well, it might be too late to buy low on Sanchez.
Yeah, no, forget him.
I would be most likely to buy low on Tehran. But I would buy low on any... I mean, if we're to the point where their owners are thinking about dropping them... You shouldn't have to pay much of anything. You should be able to pay a player you're on the fence about dropping yourself, potentially. I'd offer up Vincent Velasquez for one of them, or maybe even, well, I don't want to go there. I was going to say maybe Steven Matz, but I don't think I want to do that. I just don't think you'd have to do that. You probably have somebody worse.
I think Cashner... some guys, they just have like a really bad stretch. Look at Jason Hamill last year, right? He had a terrible stretch. Cashner was so good before that I wouldn't even consider dropping him.
I wonder if like it's gotten in his head now, because since that start where he struck out 12 but gave up double-digit hits and fell to 2-8, his strikeout-to-walk ratio, which was the reason we kept being like, oh, Cashner's going to be fine. Look at all the guys he's striking out. It's like completely flipped. He's had more walks than strikeouts his last three starts. And I just wonder if it's him trying to compensate for a problem that doesn't exist, but he was made to feel like exists because he's 2-8, because I feel like baseball players themselves do put a lot of stock in win-loss record as a reflection of performance.
Kill the win. All right, tweet of the day. It's from Brandon McCarthy. He's not doing much these days except for being awesome on Twitter. He says, in keeping with baseball tradition, a Houston executive should walk into the St. Louis offices and hit their best front office guy with a fastball.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And Tuesday's standouts, we usually get to these early, but the whole day was full of standouts. Brock Holt hit for the cycle, and he's 21% owned. Anybody
Brock
want
Holt.
Brock Holt?
No, I mean, just we don't know where he's going to play full-time, or if he can even get a full-time job.
He has been playing full-time, though, between four different positions. He started 10 straight, so it seems like the Red Sox are all about him again.
Yeah, let's remind people what Brock Holt did last year. He batted .281, but before the All-Star break, he was batting .327 with a .371 on base, .463 slugging, and he was really good. And then after the All-Star break, he was horrible, .219, .278 on base, .271 slugging. But there was probably a month to two-month stretch where Brock Holt was like, must start.
It was between him and Josh Harrison. They both kind of emerged at the same time. Harrison kept it up, Holt didn't. You know, it's nice that he's getting playing time and obviously tons of versatility, which is helpful in deeper leagues, but there's not really even much extra base power here. No speed.
I think you can get runs, though. They seem to be committed to hitting him high in the order.
If he can maintain a batting average over 300, but he couldn't last year, and I'm not really betting on him doing it this year. I'm not saying it's impossible, but not betting on it.
Crazy day when somebody hits for the cycle and they're like 10th page news. Who stood out to you guys yesterday?
You've got Velasquez here. He did not look good at all. I want to point out, I have like a soft spot for power hitting middle infielders, and I think it's a remnant of the fact that I grew up, like, my formative baseball years were watching Dan Uggla on those Marlins teams. Derek Dietrich, you know, if he can get even close to a full-time job with the Marlins, he's got at least NL-only potential, because I think he has 15 homer potential.
But can he get playing time? Where would he?
Prado's been kind of a disaster. He's got that shoulder injury. If that lingers, he could be. I wrote about him yesterday in the waiver wire column. He could definitely be NL-only potential, because he crushes right-handed pitchers.
Would Jeffrey Loria let Dietrich
that
become
is also,
an everyday player? Because I've gotten
also,
the impression he hates his guts.
Well, he got Tino Martinez fired. You don't get Tino Martinez fired and then and live to see another day.
Velasquez is someone we should talk about, though. He's 73% owned. And, yeah, certainly not as good as McCullers. And are walks an issue for him? They have been so far. Were they an issue for Velasquez?
They're an issue in the minors, yeah. Just like they were for McCullers. So, you know, I don't think they're going to be a deal breaker when all's said and done. I'm two starts into his career. He threw five shutout innings the first time. I'm gonna give him a pass for now.
Matt Harvey, 7 scoreless, 4 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts. Said he had a slider back.
What's wrong with Matt Harvey?
I'm glad we took the stance that nothing's wrong with Matt Harvey.
I mean, when it comes to these elite pitchers that have 2 or 3 bad starts, unless there's something actually wrong with them, there's nothing wrong with them.
Yeah.
Like, that's just
right.
They're playing a game where another team's trying to beat them. I think that's what's wrong
with
them.
Yeah, like, you're allowed to have 2 bad starts. It just so happens that if it comes in the first 2 months of the season, it's going to inordinately impact your overall line and make you look worse, and you can say what's wrong, and then it's Chris Sale or Clayton Kershaw or Matt Harvey. These guys are
Corey Kluber.
These guys are amazing. Like, that's why these guys are
well,
who they are.
Do you think Steven Strasburg is going to be that good when he comes
well,
up?
Well, see,
to
the thing with Steven Strasburg is he actually had something wrong with him.
But now he shouldn't.
Assuming he's healthy, assuming there's nothing wrong with him,
I've gotten the mechanics back. All that.
Because
those seem to be out of whack since the spring knee injury.
That was the thing. It was from his knee injury in the spring. If he's healthy, if he's physically fine, then I can't see any reason. I would definitely buy low on him. Yeah.
I keep trying to buy low on Strasburg in the podcast league, but the guy who owns him...
Yeah, like, he wants your best player and your firstborn son.
Basically, like he thinks everyone assumes Steven Strasburg's as good as the day he drafted him. So
right. I don't think you can... You can try to buy low on Strasburg, but if you want to sell him... Can't sell Strasburg as if he's been Cy Young caliber because he's, you know, been horrible.
So I guess
see,
the guy's doing what he's supposed to
but
do.
But that's my thing. If I owned him, I'm more likely to get an impact player out of him for the next 3 months than I am out of the person that I trade him for right now when he's on the DL and has a 6 ERA.
It depends. I mean, I offered this guy, I think AJ Pollock at one point for Strasburg, and that's an impact player, right?
Sure.
I don't know that I'd do it now, though.
No, I mean, I don't know that I would do that, but it's not a bad trade.
No.
I would probably have turned it down if I were him, too.
Yeah.
I don't blame you, but...
No.
I don't blame him. I don't blame
you. I just think...
No blame.
No blame at all.
If you invested a, third-round, fourth-round pick in Steven Strasburg, a lot of your team's success is going to be dependent on getting value out of that spot in your roster, whether it's from him...
Well, I mean, teams have changed.
Sure.
Team complexions have changed so much, I think, since draft day that's not necessarily true. I get what you're saying. But
I just think
if you're the guy who drafted Chris Archer in round 14 or whatever, then you can afford to do without Strasburg than somebody who...
I just think if I'm trading a guy that I drafted in the first few rounds, I have... I have a really hard time giving up on him for something less than what his maximum value could be, just because I feel like a lot of your team's success is going to be dependent on him hitting that point.
Well, the time to do it certainly isn't now, when he's a week away from returning. If you were going to do it, it was when he first went on the DL.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hold on to Strasburg.
And do I have any other standouts here? No, I don't think so. I think we covered everything.
Mookie Betts.
Okay.
We mentioned him because since returning, he homered in that game in his first at-bat, then ran into the wall, missed a couple of games with the sore back. Since then, back-to-back three-hit games, including a double and a triple yesterday. And this was a... I understand it's only two games, three if you want to count the game where he got injured, but it just seemed like something like this was bound to happen for him, looking at his peripherals, his track record in both last year in the majors and throughout his minor league career. I think if you've been sitting Betts in fantasy, like this is going, this stretch that he's beginning here is going to be the last time you ever consider benching him, because he's about to take off.
I think it's amazing that his product, that he ranks so high among outfielders, given his numbers. His
it
slash
seems
line.
Yeah, it's really weird.
If he starts playing well, could be a top 10 outfielder.
Yeah, yep. He's been that highly ranked all season, and just it's weird.
Yeah. So, on to the news and notes quickly here. Ike Davis expected back today. Mark Trumbo expected back today. Corey Dickerson DH'd yesterday. We'll see if he's in the lineup when they leave the AL Park, go back to Colorado tonight. Sashi Iwakuma will begin a rehab assignment soon. Jose Altuve's back. Jacoby Ellsbury unlikely to return this month. John Moskett, Cincinnati starting pitcher, he's on the DL. What is next for their rotation?
It's not Tony Cingrani, because he's on the DL. I'm guessing it's not Robert Stevenson either, because he's walking everybody in sight in the minors. So nobody you should care about in fantasy. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, fair enough. The Angels changed up their batting order a little bit. Cole Calhoun batted second. Mike Trout third. Albert Pujols cleanup. And Pujols homered. Francisco Lindor batted second. He's 60% owned. Carlos Santana batted cleanup. Would you rather have Yunel Escobar or Francisco Lindor?
Lindor.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
And Angelton Simmons sat yesterday after being hit by a pitch on the hand on Monday. Time for three up, one down, tuck some pitchers, bullpen, grade the trade, etc. Three up number one is Billy Burns. He's 69% owned. He's playing very, very well. He had a triple. He scored a run. He drove in two. He walked twice. He had a stolen base. And he's got 13 steals so far in 41 games. Billy Burns, 69% owned. Does that seem low to you guys?
It does seem a little low. I haven't been that interested in picking him up in a points league, to be honest, because the walk rate is so bad that it really depend on him maintaining a batting average this high.
He walked a lot in the minors, I want to say, though.
I feel like you're right, yeah. But, you know, 172 at-bats, 10 walks.
Yeah.
I'm not anticipating a turnaround as far as that goes.
All right, three up number two is Christian Yelich. He's 80% owned, and this guy was universally drafted. Last 22 games for Yelich, 298, 344, 417 slugging, but only one steal. He needs those steals.
Yeah.
What do you make of that, Chris?
Still striking out a lot. He looked better, for sure, especially, you know, I think going on the DL for the back injury, I think he's healthy now, and I think that's helping him, but I don't think he's going to hit his upside, the upside that we all thought he had this season, just because I think the power is not going to show up. And he's
that
not
makes him kind of fringy without it, right?
Yeah, I mean, he just hits way too many ground balls, and he's not going to be the high average guy that I think some people think he might be.
And Scooter Gennett is 10% owned. Any appeal of Scooter Gennett in deep leagues?
He's been good since coming back. And I was surprised he got sent down
he's played like two games, hasn't he?
No, it's been more than that.
Oh, really?
I can give you the exact number. 8 for 22 with three doubles and a home run since coming back. Yeah.
Where the hell have I been? Sleeping.
Apparently.
Sorry.
Sleeping in every day.
Yeah.
I don't know. not a lot, not enough upside there to get excited in a standard mixed league, but he's serviceable, I think, in any format.
One down today. It's Torrey Hunter. He's 79% owned. One multi-hit game since May 20th, one home run since May 23rd, so we're approaching a month. Hunter had that amazing hot streak in May.
Yeah, 39 years old. Of course he wasn't going to keep hitting like that.
Well, do you think he's droppable at 79% owned? I'd rather have Billy Burns than him.
In a five outfielder league, I think you have to hold on to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Four-man rotation. We talked Matt Harvey. How about Trevor Bauer? What do you make of a guy who walks a lot of players, walks a lot of hitters, but doesn't give up a lot of hits? Which stat is more important to you, the walks or the hit rate?
The walks are more important. That being said, I don't think what Bauer's doing is unsustainable. I think his stuff is good enough that he is not going to give up a lot of hits. But there's going to be some ups and downs, as we've seen from him here recently. I think starting pitcher landscape being what it is, he's a guy who I'm starting close to every week, even with the ups and downs.
I think moving forward, he's closer to the guy he was last season when he put up a 4.18 ERA than the guy he is this season.
So you're worried about some regression here?
I'm definitely worried about regression. He's a fly ball pitcher who walks a lot of guys. You're going to give up a lot of home runs, and guys are going to be on base when you give up those home runs. That's a pretty bad combination. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying that he doesn't like he does strike out 9.1 per nine innings, which is good. His strikeout rate is high, and it's improved from last year. So I think he can be better than last season. But I think he's not a low 3 ERA guy.
And four-man rotation continues with Jake Arrieta. Are you guys disappointed with Jake Arrieta this year? He's been good, but not great.
I'm not disappointed, no. He was okay. Because he was good last season, but it was a small sample size, and we hadn't seen it before.
Well, he's not even a top 25 starting pitcher right now.
How much of that is win-loss record? Do you know what his win-loss record
six
is?
6-5.
Yeah, it's not helping him.
Last five starts, Arrieta has a 450 ERA, but it's really not that bad. He hasn't given up more than four earned runs in any start.
Yeah, what went wrong in this start was the six walks, and he's not Trevor Bauer as far as that goes. He hadn't even issued three walks, I think, in eight starts. So, yeah, this was an aberration.
And Garrett Richards, not a great walk-to-strikeout ratio by any means. 30 walks, 59 strikeouts, but two good starts in a row here. 14 innings, two earned runs over his last two starts against the Diamondbacks last night at Tampa Bay last week.
I think our expectations might have been a little high for him, but I think he's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of get that impression, too. The walks and the strikeouts both kind of concern me individually and together. Like, it's not a good ratio by themselves, and it's not a good ratio together, obviously, but I just feel like he's good. I don't know how else to put it. I think we'll see the strikeout rates go up in time. The rate go up. There's only one of them.
Any concerns about Craig Kimbrel?
No, I mean, I don't know. I know he's given up. That's the problem. It's so hard to talk about closers still, just because like his home run rate is up. He's given up three home runs.
Like, I don't think it's given up a home run in a while, though. Has
yeah, it? But that's the main thing that sticks out for him. Otherwise, he's just been more hittable. But he hasn't really been that much more hittable. He's still striking out a lot of guys. He doesn't look quite as good as his peak, but I'm not worried about him now.
And in his last 10 appearances, Kimbrel has not, before last night, previous 10 appearances, didn't allow an earned run. So looked like he was pitching better, kind of like Greg Holland. Grade the trade from Rob in Connecticut says, if you answer my grade the trade, I promise I will play FanDuel.
Okay.
12-team head-to-head points league, give Votto, get Matt Carpenter and Cole Hamels. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
like yeah.
Kool-Aid Man approves of that one.
B+.
Yeah, B+.
Oh, yeah. From Ken. Grade the trade, dear Apollo, Yvonne, and Clubber. I give up Shelby Miller and J.D. Martinez. I get David Price. Shelby Miller and J.D. Martinez for David Price.
Shelby Miller and J.D. Martinez for Price.
I think it's a B+.
I'll even go A-. How's that?
Ian from Northampton, Massachusetts, grade the trade. Dear Sewage Joe, Ethel Beavers, and Bobby Newport.
It's a Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 10-team head-to-head categories league, including walks category. My Carlos Santana for his Gregory Polanco. So I give up Carlos Santana. I get Gregory Polanco. I do not like
him. I think you need more than that.
Walks is a category?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Polanco sat against the lefty yesterday.
That is selling low on Santana. Not exactly buying high on Polanco, so yeah. I don't know what the incentive was. I guess maybe he needed steals.
I know you're way up in walks, but yeah, I don't know. The best is yet to come from Santana. EJ in Austin, Texas, grade the trade, 18-team Dynasty League.
All right.
Get Billy Burns and Jake Lamb.
Billy Burns.
Give Julio Teheran.
I don't like it.
No way, especially Dynasty League. That is a F minus.
Yeah, I look at that and I see two guys that weren't on our radar at all coming into the season for a guy that we thought could be a top 25 or 30 pitcher.
Top 15.
Yeah.
Reading some emails here at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. LT Branson is in an 18-team league. Losses and walks are extra category. Should I drop Andrew Cashner for Jesse Hahn or Erasmo Ramirez?
No.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
Like, what are they going to do for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, I like Hahn, but I don't think he can be as good as Cashner can.
And that's an 18-team league. If Cashner turns it around, boy, yep. You're going to regret that. Sean in Idaho. Dear Fantasy, Neil, Alex, and Getty. It's Rush.
The guys on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
What did
Rush.
You mean? Rush?
They're on the cover of the Rolling Stone for the first time.
Sing more Rush songs to me, and we'll play Can I... Do I recognize it?
I can't. It's a one-time thing.
No?
I don't think so. Because it was really good, and I don't want to...
See, I know more Rush songs, but I know I can't sing them. So it's just like, I don't want to do Geddy Lee's voice, but three octaves lower.
Adam can sing, and he likes to sing.
A little bit.
Nah.
Not a good day. 12-team head-to-head five-player keeper league. I dropped Josh Hamilton for Corey Seager.
Yep.
I have Marcus Semien at middle infield. I have guys coming off the DL soon to replace Josh Hamilton and plug into my middle infield spot. So who should I target for Corey Seager, or should I keep him and use him as middle infield for the rest of the season? I guess Sean's question is, how do you value Corey Seager?
How can you use him as a middle infielder for the rest of season? Doesn't rest of season include tomorrow?
He's not here. He has Marcus Semien right now. So he's saying...
So whenever... Seager comes up.
Seager would be an option for middle infield. I think he could definitely be better than Semien. I think he's got huge upside.
Yeah.
I think if he got the call and we knew he was going to be up for good, I think you'd value him as a top 10 shortstop, right?
Yeah, it's just that uncertainty of when or even if.
Well,
because it seems like nobody's counting on him being a shortstop in the majors, and the Dodgers have too many third basemen. They're going to have another when Hector Olivera gets the call.
They have to make trades, though. They will make trades.
I feel like the momentum has built to a point where they're going to find a way to get Seager in at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe even at shortstop. I mean, Rollins hasn't been irreplaceable, and even though nobody thinks his future is at shortstop, maybe they could get by with him there for now. That's what he's played mostly in the minors. So.
And Rollins, I think his contract's up after this season, right? They're not invested in him long term?
I'm not sure about that. I know Howie Kendricks is up, and they could move Olivera to second base and make room for Seager at third, and that could fix all of that.
I mean, this is a team with an obvious glut in the corner infield and an obvious need in the rotation. So I think a trade is inevitable.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's just kind of a gut feeling thing. It's not something I'd want to rely on. If I felt like I could get something good for Seager in return, and what would be a good return for Seager? Well, does he mention a need of his here, or...
Well, I'm going to speed it up, guys. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure we can get some DFS in there. Eddie says, in a few weeks I'll have Devin Travis, Jorge Soler, and Victor Martinez returning from the DL. So who should I drop? Castillo, Joey Gallo. Is that Rusne Castillo? Joey Gallo or...
Luis.
Castillo, Joey Gallo, or any of the guys returning?
Travis, needs to drop Soler. Three.
Panic, too.
Gonna have to drop three.
I think
Oh.
I mean, this is a situation that at least one of those guys, the answer might be obvious when Andrew Beltre gets back, if Joey Gallo gets sent down, which that still seems to be the plan for the Rangers.
Does it? I thought they were playing him in left. No.
Well, sure, but they haven't said that they're not going to send him down. So I think you do still have to operate at least partially under the assumption.
I'm not sure. I don't want to slow it down. I thought they had given some indication now that he's earned his place, but
okay. I mean, it's possible. That's one scenario in which the answer could become obvious for one of those spots.
Okay.
If Joey, let's work under the assumption that Joey Gallo doesn't get sent back down.
Okay.
I think he's probably one of the guys you have to keep here. I probably drop Panic.
Really? Because I have him as a top 10 second baseman now. But I mean, this is a crazy, like Castillo's the easy drop, I think.
What about Soler?
No. I'd rather drop Gallo than Soler.
No. I think Soler wasn't that good when he was healthy.
Well.
And there are questions about...
It was last year.
It was a small sample size.
So was prior to the injury this year. I just think there's more downside with Gallo.
Make a trade, Eddie.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so if we have to answer the question, I guess I would go Castillo, Gallo, and I guess Panic.
Last one from Chris in Arlington, Virginia, tells us that Data in the movie Goonies is actually pronounced Data, not Data.
Okay.
And he wants to know, rest of season, Steven Vogt or Kendrys Morales at first base?
Well, Vogt's, you got to own Vogt, but not to play him at first base, to play him at catcher.
But it is Wieters.
Well, you can do something about that. Stick with Vogt.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk DFS, a little FanDuel here. Again, 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. Watch our show on CBSSports.com. You can play in a league with them as well, or a FanDuel contest with them as well every night. I'm going to start my team.
You could play with us in that contest.
I never see the tweets. It bothers me. I'm going to play tonight.
All right.
I just want to look up one stat here because I think I know which pitcher I'm going with. We have some true studs and duds at pitcher, and I'm thinking I like Madison Bumgarner. Well, Seattle's not that bad against lefties.
Well, that's probably mostly Nelson Cruz because Nelson Cruz has been peak Barry Bonds against lefties this season.
He's been stupid.
All right, well, I'm still gonna go with Bumgarner. He's the fifth most expensive pitcher. What, you don't like it?
I'm to the point now where Kershaw, I start him every time. It's just too many points there you're passing up, I feel like.
Yeah, but he's almost $2,000 more expensive than Bumgarner.
It's worth it. Hitters are so unpredictable from day to day. I'll take a downgrade to a Travis Snyder type in one of my outfield spots if I have to.
There are a lot of good stacks today, and with that said, you might be able to spend that extra money on Clayton Kershaw. I don't know if you guys have done any research whatsoever, but Baltimore should be great again, and Washington lefties against Matt Andrees.
You've got to stack Rockies tonight, right?
Rockies facing Brett Oberholzer.
At home.
Except they're just so expensive.
Yeah, they're going to be so expensive. You're not starting Kershaw with the Rockies stack, that's for sure.
You might get Brewers against Joe Blanton. That's kind of an interesting one.
Wow.
That is a home game for the Royals, so it's a big ballpark.
Joe Blanton.
I think Joe Blanton.
Is this his first start of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was one of the worst pitchers in baseball.
Yeah.
So if he is, in fact, starting, that's one you could look at. I like the Pirates against John Danks. Especially righties, I believe, against John Danks. They have a 941 OPS. Joe Kelly, he's been a little bit better lately. He's facing the Braves. I don't really like the Braves that much.
I was thinking about Astros against the Rockies in Colorado going against Kyle Kendrick.
Yeah.
Carlos Correa is $3,900. I think
Jeez.
I think they've all gotten the Coors bump.
Is Evan Gattis going to play? He should play. He'll play in the outfield. He's not DHing all that much, is he? He should be in the lineup.
He's been pretty much exclusively DHing, I think.
Oh, then I'm sorry. I thought he was playing some left field where nobody can hit.
No.
Okay, so Gattis might not play. So he's the most expensive catcher. Keep an eye on that there at Colorado. I love the Blue Jays against Jonathan Nease as well. Matt Wieters seems like a pretty good value at $3,300, but you could also go with a Rockies catcher. I do apologize. I have not looked at FanDuel because I, you know, overslept and just been a very, very busy week.
We're doing this for you, Adam. We know this is just really, you know, you want an excuse to talk about DFS.
I love talking DFS.
You make time at the end of the podcast.
If Will and Rosario gets into the lineup at home against a lefty, that could be a really good play, even though he's a first baseman. $3,400 for a first baseman is not bad.
No, actually, I like Carlos Santana at $3,400 as well. I hope he's coming out of it a little bit. The Cubs have Tsuyoshi Wada starting today. But I think I'm going to leave it to the experts on the 6 p.m. show because I can't. There must be so many.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's I think six pitchers that cost less than Paul Goldschmidt today. Just to
there are bad pitchers going.
Just
today.
To give you an idea of what we're dealing with. So there's going to be a lot of hitting options.
It's amazing that Robinson Cano is as expensive as Rougned Odor. But obviously you can't start him. But you could go with maybe Scooter Gennett at Joe Blanton. All right, I'm looking for Blue Jays. I'm looking for Orioles. I'm looking for Nationals, especially Nationals lefties, which would really just be Harper.
You're bird watching.
And I'm looking at the Houston-Colorado game. And I like Bumgarner, but yeah, I'll try to get Kershaw in there. Anything else, guys, that may have stuck out at you?
If I'm going for a high variance tournament play, I might look at Alex Wood against the Red Sox.
I tend to throw an Alex Wood tournament lineup out there every time he goes, and it hasn't really paid off
yet. Yeah, it has not paid off lately.
No, I feel like he's a guy who any time out there he could put up an ace start with a bunch of strikeouts because that's what he did the previous 2 years. Hasn't done it yet this year.
And the Red Sox have some guys with pretty extreme platoon splits.
Okay.
Especially Pablo Sandoval and David Ortiz. They're two of the three worst hitters against lefties. If they're in the lineup, that just makes Alex Wood look even better.
If you guys, do you guys agree with this? If you're going to save money somewhere, outfield is the easiest place to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, shortstop and catcher is easy to go cheap too.
But yeah, catcher's not that hard. Yeah. That's right there. Okay, thank you guys very much.
Thank
I'm Adam
you.
Azer for Scott White and Chris Towers. Get ready for Chris's fantasy baseball hosting debut on Friday. Should be awesome. Thank you for listening.